show on a Tuesday morning. How's it going, everybody? We are off and rolling here. JR, Simmer, and Hammer for this 31st day of the longest month maybe in your life, the month of March, here on Sports Radio TSN 1200. We're glad you're along. It is, going to be another fairly wet start to the day. Some showers in the forecast for this morning. Maybe a little sunshine later in the day. We'll get up to 9 for the high. Again, tomorrow looks decent, sunny, a little chilly in the morning, but 6, cloudy for Thursday, Friday. And then as we promised you, as we head toward the weekend, looks like double-digit temperatures maybe reach 10 and above, which will be all good. And with that, we say good morning to Sean Simpson. How are you this morning, Simmer?
I'm excellent. And as our good friend George Armstrong likes to say for March, get that garbage out of here. Let's get this month over. Let's move on to hopefully some warmer weather and some better times for everybody. I don't think anybody has had a whole lot of fun this month.
Now, any way that we can make April move any quicker than the month of March?
You know what? That's interesting. I don't think it's possible, but the capabilities, and this is the other one, we must remember, and hopefully there's years or there have been years when we have Sens hockey, and we certainly have Sens playoff hockey, but it's also our slow pretend that nice weather is going to come when we all know it's not coming to the middle of June. There's no way around that. We can pretend, we can see little glimpses of it, but we got to grind it out here for another 6 weeks, so hunker down and get at her.
Yeah, yeah. That whole thing about Sens hockey in the month of April, that hasn't been the case for,
I know. But I'm talking, we've got to go back. We got to go back into to previous times. You've been here for a long time. There were good times,
yes.
And there are good times coming. So we have to look at that, right?
So our lives mirror now what we're doing. The virus, the pandemic we're trying to get through is reflective also of playoff seasons to come.
It is, exactly. Yes. And with Craigslist coming out yesterday and the draft projections and everybody getting fired up about Craigslist and complaining about the list of players that they've seen on YouTube, the list that they put together.
Yes.
Having never scouted or watched the players play live, it is creating quite a bit of debate. And the nice part about Craigslist going through, though, and you'll see this a little bit with teams, but not as much. Boy, I didn't go back to his original list to start the year, but a lot of changes. And, of course, Jack Quinn being the big one, it creates a lot of debate. And let's face facts here. We need debate right now.
Yes, we absolutely do. Yeah, if you missed. And we're going to have Craig Button, TSN's Director of Scouting, on with us coming up later on in the show, just after 9 o'clock. The big news that I think, from a top 10 list and certainly from a 67s list is the fact that he's got Jack Quinn, of course, who hit for more than 50 goals. So the 67s has had a breakthrough year. There's no doubt about that. All of a sudden, Jack Quinn goes from what? Later first round pick to by midseason was, hey, this guy's inside the top 20. To three-quarter pole. Well, maybe, you know what? Maybe he edges into the top 10 and...
Yeah.
Not that Craig will have one more list that'll come out before the draft, whenever that is. But as of this morning, he sits at number 6 and ahead of all guys, Marco Rossi, who sits at number 8. So that was, I think, from an overall top 10 perspective, maybe the biggest surprise.
It really was, and very respectful, especially when I hear Kenny Walls talk. And I know, hey, sometimes, I don't want to say you fall in love with players, but he knows them very well. And obviously, he feels very strongly about Rossi. Probably didn't see this coming. And this is a great part of the debate. If you're in a war room for an NHL team, you'll sit there and have all your regional guys, you'll put together your list, you'll kind of debate it, and at the end of the day, this is quite simply a projection. You're trying to sit back and say to yourself 5 years from now, where are these players going to be? And that's really what you're coming up with as far as a draft list. And hey, the excitement for us and the timing of it, what would be interesting for Craig's list, though, in a year like this, and really any year, for the 31 NHL teams, when a guy's not playing hockey anymore, his drafting shouldn't change. Like when you see a sway of a player at the end of the year, you're kind of like, hey, what's going on here? Are you talking too much? Or if you get to the combine or you do an interview where there's a major red flag or a bonus. But even at that, there shouldn't be a whole lot of change. And in a year like this, be shocked, obviously, if Craig's going to make any changes to that final list.
Right. And no change certainly at the top. Alexis Lafreniere remains at number 1. And Tim Stützle of Germany is number 2, and Craig kind of did a Q&A on Twitter with some hockey fans, and one of the questions he was asked, which was interesting, and we'll put the same kind of question to him: how many of the guys that you've seen do you think can actually play in the NHL next season? Right,
yeah,
because
yeah.
I think for Sens fans, it's been about let's grab one of the centers and slide them into an NHL spot for next year. He thinks only Lafreniere and maybe Stützle
yeah.
should be. Now, it's his opinion, but should be
playing in the NHL next season. So a guy like Byfield, he doesn't see as an NHL player next season.
Yeah.
Maybe that kind of ready-made, hey, in time for next year solution for the Sens and their center ice hole may not be quite in the offing like Sens fans had hoped.
Yeah, no, for sure. And when you go through that list, that is a difficulty. Individual teams. Now, you're not going to have Rossi playing in the Memorial Cup. You're going to have him and a lot of these guys, boy, fitness-wise, they could improve. You don't like to rush the process. And this is also, JR, when you get into these discussions, you know what? I can think back to Patrice Bergeron showing up to the Boston Bruins camp. Who would have thunk? And I can remember them keeping him, and he's living with Marty Lapointe. You're like, come on, this can't be real. Well, it worked out fine. So, you know what? You hate to push it, but boy, there's a lot of track here between next year and when the season starts, how you handle it. I'll also be very curious on how they handle some of the rules going into next year. If we have a later start, say a November start for the National Hockey League, would they allow some of the players to return to the CHL and then possibly return back to their NHL teams? So there'll be some things, but hey, most of these guys are boys. I factor in a little bit more with a guy like Rossi being a late birthday and wanting to play pro, so a team may handle that differently. But to the point, hey, why would you not be better in a case of Byfield to probably play another year junior?
All right. Speaking of Quinton Byfield, TSN's Mark Masters caught up with him yesterday, and among the questions asked, of course, with a guy rated near the top of the draft, what do you feel about going to play for the Ottawa Senators? Quote, Quinton Byfield, I'd be happy to go to Ottawa for sure. That'd be close to home, which is great. I could get my family out there quite a bit, and my friends could make the trip as well. So Ottawa would be a good landing spot for sure, end quote. So we can add... what's the go-to adjective from what he said? Good landing spot. So we got a good landing spot for Byfield.
Yeah.
We had, of course, Connor McDavid from a few years ago.
Playing in Ottawa would be an absolute dream come true.
We had Alexi Lafreniere last week.
You know, it would be an honor for sure.
All right, so we've got dream come true, we've got honor, and we've got good landing spot. Seems to be like a bit of a bridesmaid in terms of how excited a guy would be to play in Ottawa.
Well, I think we're going to go economical. I'm feeling that he feels it'll be cheaper to bring people in. most of his buddies can drive. Access to tickets here in Ottawa, as it stands now, is a little bit easier. So I think he's looking at the financial burden down the road. So we're just going to call it shrewd, just very shrewd.
Okay, shrewd.
And as all these guys have been schooled on the right things to say. What else would you say? And I don't know what your thoughts were on the list yesterday, but when I saw Askarov there, I thought right away the Chicago Blackhawks. And then, similar to Kotkaniemi, when LaPierre suddenly appeared as high as he did, I thought, oh, jeez. Well, mark that down. Get his Habs jersey ready because he's going to be drafted by the Montreal Canadiens about that pick.
Yes.
That was my feeling at looking at the list yesterday.
Yes, that would be Hendrix LaPierre, who is from Gatineau. Unfortunately suffered a series of concussions, at least a couple, I think, this season. Never played again after the month of November, but was ranked on Craig's list as a top 10. But he's a total wild card. As he said, he's the best two-way player in the draft. But again, the concussion history is, it's probably, and you correct me if I'm wrong, you've been in war rooms entire managerial career.
Yeah.
I would assume there have been some players over the years you guys just took right off your list, just didn't want to take the risk.
Well, there has been serious injury. Now, injury, I think, over the years has changed. I mean, how you looked at a knee back in the day, there's been guys that have chronic groin injuries. Certainly, you look at that, and I always use the example of Patrick Steffen. Everybody in the hockey world was concerned. We watched him way out in Long Beach where he got kneed in the head, and that was his third concussion of the year. I think that derailed his career. Now, in this case, for a young man, you also look at a guy like Sidney Crosby and everything he's gone through, but I don't know how that would equate in your 20s to being a teenager, but teams have to be concerned. You have to be doing your homework. And I think for the Ottawa Senators, I never want to waste a pick, but certainly if you're picking at 15 with the New York Islanders and you look at a player like that and you've done your homework, that would be a very healthy conversation that I think you'd have within the war room to say, hey, we've checked it out here. We think this is going to be fine. Let's take a little risk here for a lot of reward.
Yeah. And again, the NFL general managers are going through this right now with the draft still scheduled to be in less than a month from now. But for NHL general managers, depending on if and when their prospects are able to go visit teams or teams can visit prospects, or even if it's just, you know, if there is some kind of thing where they invite the top guys to the draft, the opportunity to have your doctors actually look and test a guy, as opposed to just kind of going on his word or his doctor's word or whatever, that's got to be a huge part of it as well.
It is. Now, the combine is a big part of that for the National Hockey League, but you're right. And in this particular case, hey, when you're talking about a possibility of a top 10 pick, you're going to do your homework. I would also wonder, big picture, and I brought this up before as far as the concussion lawsuit. When you talk about this and you want to sue the National Hockey League, I've always said to myself, well, for a lot of the kids that were fighting, a lot of kids that played physical, played a long time in the CHL, how many fights did they have? For a player like this and with the focus on it, I also wonder if there will be some questions as far as risk, as far as entering the National Hockey League. Quite simply that, hey, when I've had this many concussions, what kind of a risk is a team and an insurance company and a league willing to take on? So I think that's an interesting dynamic we should track going forward as well.
All right, so discussion with Craig Button, TSN's Director of Scouting, coming up a little after 9 o'clock this morning. Jason Lacanfora, speaking of drafts, of course, covers the NFL for CBS, their insider. He'll join us in the show, old friend of Simmer, so we'll look forward to that. That's about 9:30, and as always, Pierre McGuire will join us, and we'll wrap up the hockey discussions with Pierre just coming up after 8. When we come back, we'll get into the news of the day, which, well, involves more postponements, cancellations, etc., of more sports events right here in Ottawa and across Canada and around the world as well. So we'll get into that, but we'll get into a little non-COVID talk as well. There are some sports stories and some other things coming up on the show a little later on this morning as well. We'll get into some football chatter, a little baseball as well. Will baseball be the sport to lead us out of the COVID wilderness? They certainly think so. So we'll get into all of that when we come back. It is a Tuesday morning, and you are listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200.
This is TSN 1200.
Welcome back, 621 here on a Tuesday morning. JR, Simmer, and Hammer with you. Quick text to 12-1200. Always welcome your feedback, by the way, when you do text us. Standard messaging rate supply, got to say that. But Farmer Bill, and if there's anybody that can ever be believed, it is a farmer about the weather. And Farmer Bill says, take it from me, we're going to have some warm weather. Early summer, 20 degrees. So summer normally appears at, mid-June? Farmer Bill says, coming up sometime between now and then, we'll be at 20 degrees. That's the promise. All right, we've lost Simmer, who's in the other studio. We've got physical distancing, and now we have microphone distancing. Not working very well as well. All right, so we mentioned we have some guests on the way today. Craig Button, our TSN draft analyst, will be with us. Jason Lacanfora, we'll talk some NFL with him, and Pierre McGuire as well. All right, the news of the day is this. First of all, CFL announced early yesterday, and again, none of this comes as a huge surprise given where we are in terms of the fight with the virus. CFL camps have now been postponed. They were scheduled open May the 17th. CFL camps now postponed sometime into the month. There is no date. So no surprise there. CFL camps postponed. There we go.
Yeah, interesting with the CFL, and I guess you could also get into shipping players and get immigration done. Lots of these leagues facing some major challenges, and I guess everything, much like the National Hockey League, if you're at least talking, people realize you still have a league going on, and that's probably what a lot of people are trying to do right now, just stay a little bit relevant in the media situation.
Yeah, and the big issue for the CFL, and this is, we're sitting here in Canada, and we're hopeful that we're, quote, flattening the curve, but until we see the numbers to back that up, and we're talking a matter of now several weeks, they're saying, before we get some definitive answers on things. In the United States, situation looks very dire right now. Well, half of the players on a CFL team are Americans. Yeah. Right now, Americans can't come into Canada.
Yeah.
So at this point, even the idea of opening CFL camps appears to be a long shot in the foreseeable future.
Yeah, no, I agree. And you look at it, and hey, I know it's 10 times the population and we focus on, and it's not like we don't have cases. It's not like we don't have deaths. But I got to be honest with you, and watching the coverage of the United States, and you're fixated on New York City, when I see a hospital ship coming into the harbor, when I see them setting up triage tents in Central Park, boy, oh boy, this tells me that they are certainly informing us, but it also tells me that, hey, hopefully this is just a case of trying to be out in front of this, but it also tells me that they feel like there's a real bad situation coming here in the next couple of weeks when you see what's happening in New York City.
All right, so that is the red-black story, as it were, the story even more close to home. Ottawa Race Weekend announced yesterday, and it's funny, we were talking, I think, off the air, about that being one of the big events in Ottawa. I think we're talking about Blues Fest, which is in the month of July, and you're talking about large crowds. Well, the one that precedes that draws big crowds, in addition to CFL games, would be Ottawa Race Weekend, where you get upwards of 30 to 40,000 people, kind of spread out, but certainly some races with 8 to 10,000 people in them. They announced yesterday their cancellation, not a postponement, but a cancellation of Ottawa Race Weekend, which is normally scheduled for the end of the month of May. So no race weekend as well. And for everybody that signed up, and I think the number was close to 17 or 18,000, they're going to do a virtual race weekend, which is an interesting idea where you kind of do your own runs on your own. And then you'll be rewarded if you've signed up with the medals that they've already purchased and the T-shirts that they've already purchased. You'll still get that for the money. And obviously, you know, they'd be looking at, they've already forked out the money, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And we're going to try and get the executive director of Race Weekend on with us a little later on this morning. But the situation would be, I mean, events like that, they run year to year. They don't run with a huge amount of money in the bank, rainy day weekend. So something like this, an event that has to be outright canceled, they've got to find a way as best they can to try to keep as much money that's already in the till as possible to make sure it survives and got some semblance of a rainy day fund for next year.
Well, and I think that organization, like a lot here in Ottawa, very well respected. You've got Tamarack, you've got the Taggart family attached to it, and I think they're just asking people to be understanding. We've bought the medals, we bought the T-shirts. This isn't something anybody could control, and I've thought about now signing up for the race, possibly doing it via taxi, but still covering the entire, just in the spirit of humanity. And I guess that's what you're asking for people to, hey, you know what, hop out and run your 26 miles, which is incredible. And just understand that this is something that unfortunately you can't. And hopefully they'll, a year from now, come back and celebrate and be even bigger and stronger.
I'm trying to think now. And listen, everybody covers ground at a different pace. Hammer certainly would take a few more steps than I would. But
what?
If you do your running room one and ones and did a marathon doing one and ones, I wonder how long that would. So that's a minute running and then a minute walking.
Yeah.
You might take a little bit longer than I, but yeah. I wonder how long that would take to cover the 42K.
Well, if we start probably at 10 a.m. on Friday, I guarantee I'll be back to work on Monday. And if I'm as sore as I was on the weekend doing what was my race and walk, which is about 5 kilometers, I probably won't make it through it. And I think in the better, in the big picture here, I'm not even going to attempt it. A little 5K. In the spirit of it, which I grinded through a few years ago, myself and Jeff Hopper in the heat, I was like, hey, that's more than enough for me. And hats off to anybody that can run the 26 miles.
Was that the super hot one from
five years ago? That was your last minute. All of a sudden, you appeared on the scene.
I was the very last person to sign up. They closed it to close the run of 5K at 1 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. The rest of my family had been running and training.
Yeah.
So I said, well, I can't be the only one of five who doesn't run. And I had done zero training. Needless to say, but
and you proved the naysayers wrong.
Well, barely. That was that was one of those ones. Well, that was the year they were thinking about either pushing everything back to the next morning or canceling some of the races. They ended up going ahead, and they promised extra water stops, and there weren't. That was a bit troubling.
It was, and it was kind of neat at first because you're coming out and you go down one of the streets there, if it's Queen, and then you come up around the Parliament and you head towards the West, and I was just like, wow, man, does this feel good? And then you get to that long, flat out, straight out down the canal.
It's the bend. Right at the bend, you hit the sun.
And then I'm just struggling through, and then all of a sudden a family of four with kids under 10 years old pass right by me. I feel like I'm doing a pretty good pace at this point. It is pretty funny, when you watch some of that, and it was like, wow, just get this over with. I thought it was in decent shape, but not a whole lot of fun in that heat for sure.
All right, so we'll try and get caught up with the folks from Race Weekend about their unfortunate cancellation. But again, no great surprise, I think, to anybody that that comes off the list as well. Now, as far as the Ottawa Senators are concerned, as we know, the first NHL team to report players testing positive for COVID-19, at 2 in total. Brady Tkachuk did a Zoom conference call yesterday with who was on it? Chara,
Pasternak and John Tavares, I believe, and Brady Tkachuk were the four players that were involved yesterday. And Brady Tkachuk, I mean, it was meant to be. It's meant to, you know, create some news and create some headlines and have some fun or whatever. But there is obviously a serious side to this as well. And here's Brady Tkachuk with an update on his two teammates suffering from the virus.
No, those guys are they're doing well. It's we're a tight group, so we're always in contact with one another. But I think all of us are just concerned about them and just everybody impacted by it.
All right, so there's Brady Tkachuk. So that sounds all promising as far as the two players. And we're well past the two-week mark for when the team returned from the California road trip. And at this point, 2.5 weeks? So if everybody followed the rules and went into isolation, as they were told when they returned, I would suspect, Zimmer, and I don't know for sure. I mean, Gordy Wilson obviously has gone through it, and hopefully coming out the other side as well, that hopefully that's the last of it in terms of the interconnection of the players and the people within the team that were on that road trip.
Yeah, very much so, and depends if the players quarantined, did they stay here in Ottawa, and I'm just picturing Brady, the year at BU, and kind of a Brady Hauser, you know, kind of checking in with the guys, doing a little Zoom as a doctor, you know, just feeling that right there. Check. I just want to check in with you. I did do 1 year at BU, not necessarily in the medical field, but making sure everybody's okay. And it's funny when I saw that call yesterday. I mean, these are big boys, and I'm not talking about Chara's height. We're talking about heavyweights of the National Hockey League, and I'm always trying to kind of look and say, oh, well, he's representing Ottawa. That must mean he's going to be the next captain. So it shows the respect. It shows kind of what we see, and I guess between him and Thomas Chabot, but nice for him to be out there. And again, this is up to every league to continue to generate content, whatever it is. Just get your players out there discussing whatever it is and give the fans a little bit of an out for what is mostly negative news, especially in the United States.
All right, so we'll revisit some of the other things that were talked about during that. I guess we want to call it a conference call of sorts.
Yeah, for sure.
Which eventually got to Zdeno Chara talking about Tuukka Rask farts at one point. So that's where we're at right now. Talking about the odor from within, as we say. All right, we'll take a break. 6:31. When we come back, we'll set you up for. Yes, it's another best 10 of the last 10. Hope you enjoyed last night's game 4. Big comeback win by the Sens. Thanks to Kyle Turris, overtime winner versus Montreal. Now we're on to round 2 back in 2013. We've got more overtime magic. We've got some late game Alfie magic and a little overtime magic from, of all people, Colin Greening. So we'll set you up for that game. We'll talk about the rest of the hockey story and get into much more here. It is a Tuesday morning. Hope you're having a great start to it. You are listening to Sports Radio TSN 1200. This was 103 names.
No, I kind of wondered the same thing. I tried to come up with my top 11 because everybody has a top 10.
Okay.
And I think this is kind of that 3-minute abs versus six. I was wondering the same thing. Was there a decision that you had to sprinkle in a couple of names? Is there an agent that you had to do a favor to throw it in?
Right.
I always look at these lists, and this is relative to every team. They will have their draft card and their draft board. And depending on how many picks you have, and certainly Ottawa's in a crazy situation, but if you had 7 picks, you generate a list like Craig's, chances are your list, I know there's 31 teams, but chances are you probably get all your picks off of it. So it is a lengthy one, that's for sure. And for Ottawa Senators fans, I think probably focusing on the first 12 to 15 as it relates to their first 3 picks they have.
Right. Yeah. Because I will admit, I sat down last night when I went through the list and I went, okay, 31 teams.
Yeah.
Okay, times 3. Yeah. 3 times 1 is 3. 3 times 3 is 9. I don't think there's a 1 I need to carry there anyway. Yeah. I get 93. Yeah. I don't get 103.
Yeah, maybe Craig thought Seattle was going to be drafting this year. We can ask him when he comes on.
Okay.
But it was an interesting number for sure.
All right, so more on the draft, more on Craig's list coming up, and look forward to chatting with him. And if you have any questions, by the way, I know he answered some through Twitter yesterday, by all means, text us at 1200. We'll try and pass some of those along as we talk to Craig. Jason Lack and Forrest, speaking of the draft, NFL draft is coming up at the end of April. We'll chat some NFL with him as well. CBS Sports NFL Insider will join us. Hope you enjoyed our latest edition of our best 10 of the last 10. Last night was our third game. taking you back to 2013, Game 4, Montreal versus Ottawa. Of course, Sens were up 2-1. We're down in last night's game 2-0. Rallied in the third period. Mika Zibanejad gets them close at 2-1. Good old Corey Conacher scores to tie it in the final minute. So let's take you back to overtime.
Quick shot. That hits a Montreal skate. Ricochets to Mathot at the point. Left side to Turris. Shot blocked. Turris, another shot. Scores! Kyle Turris beats Budaj. Holy old moly. Knock me down and call me Merrill and the Senators pull it off.
There you go. Dave the Voice Schreiber with the call of Kyle Turris's crazy, not very good game winner off of Peter Budaj that won the Sens the game, put them up 3-1 in the series, and of course they went back to Montreal, closed it out with a 6-1 win.
Yeah, and you go back to that year and you look at the numbers that Anderson, DeBishop to Leonard ended up putting up. Had Anderson gone down, now he should have won the Vezina Trophy that year and he stayed healthy, I would have had some confidence. But the feeling in that, first of all, Montreal was a better team in Game 4. Had they pulled that off and had they had Carey Price healthy, but when they lost that and you realize Carey Price wasn't going to be in Game 5, well, all of a sudden there's blood in the water for the Ottawa Senators, and there was just that feeling that no matter how it played out in Game 5, that the Ottawa Senators are going to bring home that series.
All right, so tonight we're going to fast forward to Round 2. We'll have put the Habs well into the rearview mirror. Round 2 necessarily go as well for Ottawa. Played Pittsburgh, lost the first two games, but bounce back to win Game 3, and that'll be the game we have for you tonight in dramatic fashion. Alfie ties the game, crazily enough, on a shorthanded goal in the final minute. And then we go all the way through double overtime. And of all guys, Colin Greening scores the unlikely winner. I can still, at the game, down there in the far face-off circle, kind of it was an odd angle. Again, one of those ones, how did that go in kind of goal. But as they always say in the playoffs, or never a bad never a bad thing to put a shot on net.
Nope.
Because they can all go in. But we'll have that game for you coming up tonight.
Yeah, and when you go through and relive all these playoff series, it's always interesting because I always approach playoffs for teams' expectations. And for Ottawa, by the time they had knocked off Montreal to end up losing in a series like that, it was almost like, hey, job well done, kind of where they were at as a franchise. What we, of course, did not foresee was the Daniel Alfredson situation. And would you agree that since the summer of 2013, that is really the start of what has been one hell of a roller coaster in the last 7 years for this franchise?
Alfredson leaving?
Yeah.
And then the subsequent trade for Bobby Ryan.
Well,
right?
Just everything, yeah. Right? I mean, this has been, if you wanted to track, and I believe it was July 1st, 2014, was the trade of Jason Spezza, the incredible roster, the upheaval, the things that have gone on off the ice that aren't always in control of management, but it has been 7 years now as we get to July 1st, 2020 of what you hope will bring some stability, but it's been a tough for a lot of Sens fans.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's fair comment. Speaking of Alfie, by the way, we're going to play the, if we remember that there wasn't a whole lot from the Pittsburgh series back in 2013 to remember other than the game we're going to have for you tonight. Yeah. Of course, he had the infamous quote after Ottawa lost Game 4 to go down 3-1.
Who knew Pittsburgh three times in a row?
Probably not. I mean, with their depth and power play right now and... it doesn't look too good.
Yes. If you missed the question off the top, do you think you can win 3 games in a row down 3-1? Probably not. I mean, that's Alfie. I mean, anybody that's ever seen him interviewed or had the good fortune of just chatting with him, he's as honest as the day is long.
Yeah.
And he just spoke right from the heart. And listen, underwent a lot of criticism for that comment. Yeah. Hey, you're a captain. You're never supposed to, you may feel that way on the inside, but you're never supposed to, show that on the outside. Underwent a lot of criticism for that comment.
Well, and he should. I mean, you should never say that. I mean, and I'm being very sincere. You have to lie at that point. What was funny about that summer, did he not win the Mark Messier Leadership Trophy as well?
that year? Yeah, okay.
But great guy. But no, I mean, there's no reason to say something like that. You are the leader for a reason. Now, within the room, would you talk? Would you feel like that? In that particular case, I guess as we look back on the entire story, there had to be some foreshadowing, grabbing the puck. A comment like that in the summer, he had to be sensing that there was something going on between he and his agent and Brian Murray and Eugene Melnyk that was foreshadowing his exit out of Ottawa.
Yes. The grabbing of the puck after that loss, right?
Getting it for his neighbor. Neighbor loves pucks. I've jogged around Rockcliff, the real Rockcliff area, and a lot of puck collectors in that area.
Interesting, because speaking of foreshadowing, right? Erik Karlsson did the same thing, right? At last game, and it turns out he was traded. Now it took until the following training camp. But that was a weird one, right? Where
it took him till training camp to get the puck out of the net.
It was like, so conspicuous, right?
Oh my God. Like that one there was like, and I think it was Wally at, but I mean, it was like, that thing was, I think, embedded into the netting of the net.
I know it's in here somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I don't, again, I guess that was a trend of Daniel Alfredsson. I'm thinking of players that I've dealt with in the past that you thought might have retired or might have been the end. I don't remember the puck from their last game with a particular team. Now, if it's Wayne Gretzky and it's his last game here in Canada, which you guys were at and was a big deal, but I did, boy, that was that's just kind of interesting that the way people mark things, right? Like, I think of milestones with goals and assists and games played, and for Chris Phillips when he broke the all-time, interesting that either of those guys, now, in the case of Erik Karlsson, quite simply, would we agree this was just showboating? And I don't mean that in a negative way. He wanted people to be asked, and I think he's pretty good at times, or pretty good here in Ottawa, of throwing little things out there to just quite simply get people talking.
Yeah. I just wonder, you know, you spoke of, you know, people pick up pucks as mementos of milestone goals or games played or whatever. When you pick up the puck for your what you think may be your last game in a certain team's uniform before you're traded or you leave, like, do you actually, do you toss it to the trainer in the dressing room? Does he put the big white tape around it and put last game in a magic marker?
I think
how do
he
you
puts
do that?
Up a white flag over it. And if you're Ottawa, you've given out a lot of last pucks.
Yes, yes, you have.
I feel like you're at church on a Sunday here. I don't know. You get a glass of wine with that as well?
Yeah, no kidding. All right, 6:45. On a more serious note, and I think speaking of growing trends that we're going to see in the foreseeable future, layoffs hitting the sports industry. The Edmonton Oilers and the Calgary Flames becoming the first teams of what I'm sure will be many to announce layoffs of up to half the staff. We're talking about the full-time staff now. All of the others are taking pay reductions of anywhere from 10 to 25%. Do you suspect it's going to take very long for most other teams to follow along with this?
It'll be really interesting. I don't know if this was a joint thing where they were doing this based on Alberta, based on, because it was Calgary right after this broke that came out, and I think was hit with some Winnipeg, hit with some negativity when Mark Chipman came on. It's a team-by-team basis. I see where Columbus has come out and said, hey, quite simply, no, this isn't happening. Having gone through lockouts with two different teams in Washington and Toronto, I know in Washington, as far as hockey operations, nothing was ever touched. In Toronto, if you were deemed to be a higher income employee at a certain point of the 04-05 lockout, we took a 10% reduction, some staff, but I really think this is on a team-by-team basis. And I got to be quite honest with you, I think a week into this on a multi-billion dollar interest in industry, I got to be honest, I'm a little surprised. I'm not saying they have to hand it out. I know that no revenue is being brought in. But for most teams, and if you were a non-playoff team, all of your revenue, for the most part, has already been brought in by the club that would have paid people through the summer. So just my opinion, and I know this is the real world, and this is going to be tough times for people. But as I said, I think this is really going to be on a case-by-case basis. And I felt like Edmonton and Calgary did this to soften the blow a little bit, saying that this is basically kind of a provincial decision by the two rivals.
Yeah, yeah. They made the announcements at least publicly within 3 minutes of each other. Yeah, so you know that both of them had talked to each other ahead of time and say, hey, we're probably, as the first teams that are doing this, we're probably going to be criticized in some corners. Although we've seen this in all kinds of different industries, and we'll see it more and more. It's going to become more prevalent. For sure. But hey, if we're going to roll out some bad news and some criticism, let's share it equally.
Yeah.
So I think that was part of the thinking there. Do you not also see it as perhaps an indication? And again, we're all kind of thinking about dates and returns and if you know, when it's going to come back. And, you know, if it's not a when, it's an if. And is it just, you know, no, nothing till next year? Do you not look at it as that maybe an indication that maybe those two teams would be in the playoffs
exactly.
If they were to be held, that, hey, maybe they're getting a pretty broad hints that there may not be any playoffs at all.
Well, it could be. You know what? I don't know individual ownership. I don't know how that would be, because to your point would be exactly, if I was one of the non-15, or I wouldn't even say 15, we've kind of focused on the bottom seven. If I'm the New Jerseys, the Ottawas, the LA Kings, the Detroits, would I look at something this and realize, you know what, I might not have revenue again for a long time? But I also, in talking to people yesterday, there was some speculation about a possibility in June of finishing a regular season. having a playoffs kind of through July and August and then see where it goes. But you know what? So many of these discussions, unless you're on the horn with Bettman or with Daly, is purely speculation. So as I said, we'll see. Like I said, I don't know if they're just trying to get out in front of this. I don't know from province to province how workers are also, as far as entitlement to what the government did the other day as far as unemployment benefits, right? Like I think you'd look at each worker's situation and hopefully you're putting them into the spot where they're eligible for what, 75% of what the government has rolled out?
Yeah, and I think for some of the people that are laid off, the combination of I guess it's called EI benefits now, plus what you're still going to have if you're half paid, that there is going to be, it's going to come somewhere close to what you're making right now, right? So
I hope so. And again, knowing the people, I don't know the people in Calgary quite as well, but really from Bob Nicholson and a lot of the Edmonton people, Kenny Hall, and really quality people. And I'd like to think in a lot of cases you've sat there and thought, what is the best way to take care of people? That I still think within the industry itself, people are hopeful there will be a playoff, that there will be some resumption at some point in the summer, as it sits today.
Right. All right. Will the NFL be coming back? The NFLPA's medical director weighed in with that answer. So we'll have that when we come back. And will baseball be the sport to lead us out of the COVID wilderness? We'll chat about that as well when we come back. It is a Tuesday morning. Hope you're having a great start to it. You are listening to Sports Radio, TSN 1200. Saw the Lumineers, right, a few years ago?
Yeah, a couple of years ago. I don't smoke marijuana, but if I could, I would, and I'd do it in the room right now. Listen to that tune. Those last couple of tunes at Hammer. I'm the worst singer on the planet, and I never remember the words, but those are one of those ones I want to belt right into. That is a tasteful tune on this Tuesday morning.
A tasteful tune on a Tuesday. Say that five times fast. Yeah, well, I'm assuming that that particular song in concert, that's got to be one that you're stomping the feet at the same time, right?
Is it Khalil from Iceland that opened for them? Put on an unbelievable show. That entire concert, just one of those ones you just sit back. It was certainly rocking to the point people were standing, but at the same time, just very enjoyable music. That was a real nice concert at the Canadian Tire Center.
All right. 6:56. So we talked about the NHL news of the day, and we're all kind of awaiting, right, the next shoe to drop on more postponements and cancellations. We're also waiting to hear at some point, and it's not going to come soon. But we will see when we get to, quote, the other side, we are going to see some announcements of sports resuming in somehow, some way, at some point. We don't know when, but I think that's what everybody's waiting for the new. We don't even need the games at this point. Just tell me when they might or when they will happen. We're at the might stage right now. Here's the NFLPA's medical director. His name is Tom Meyer, talking about the prospects, because it's now been talked about the future of the NFL, which doesn't kick off until the month of September. Here's Tom Mayer on that.
China, South Korea, Singapore, at a minimum, and then say, well, what was it like for them? The answer was, using safe practices, harboring place, effective hand washing, physical, I prefer to call it physical distancing instead of social distancing, mm-hmm. all those steps, it was a four-month run. And you know, shops are starting to open up, businesses are starting to open up in South Korea and in China, and we are just past 2 months into it. So it's going to be a good 6 to 8 weeks until we get a better sense of precisely how bad it's going to be.
All right. Again, that's Tom Mayer, the medical director of the NFL's Players Association. So, well, he uses it. That's his own, and it's best guess.
Yeah.
But he is a medical professional talking about, He says we're 6 to 8 weeks into it, which may be a surprise to some people. I guess that he's making the estimation of first case reported when a possible, when we passed over the peak and headed down the other side, when maybe there's some light at the end of the tunnel. So if we're talking another 2 months. Now we're talking until the end of May, which, of course, was the timeline that President Trump put out the other day of 1st of June. We'll be, what was his term? We'll be roaring. Are close to roaring back to life.
Got him. He's going to come back stronger than ever.
Yes, exactly.
Unbelievable.
So, yeah. So that's, you know, we're looking at, again, a couple of months now, a couple of more months, and events, pretty much all events have been canceled now into the month of June. Yeah. So I think that that maybe everybody's singing from the same hymn book at this point.
It is. And also, hey, for a new disease to mankind, the testing, the rapid testing. If I take all these players into training camp, I can probably control their environment, have them there for a couple of weeks. Now we get to the fall, and then listen to Dr. Fauci yesterday talked about we're probably going to have another outbreak in the fall. The question is then, via probably not vaccine at that point, but via some of the drugs, can you control it? But we are talking about in the United States, this can't be, I think it's down to 10%. This has to be perfect. When you talk about kids going back to class on massive schools, say, think about Ohio State. What, do you have 100,000 students? Then I'm going to throw you all into a football stadium on a Saturday, do a little tailgating. Then on Sunday, I'm going to go to the NFL game down the road in Cincinnati. That's the interesting part for me, is that this has to be a real plan. And I think more than anything, if I predict that sports are going to return to normal, it's going to be our ability to handle the disease versus all of a sudden this idea it's going away. That's a fallacy. Would you agree that people think this is just going to disappear? We're trying to handle it, and right. Hopefully via technology, we'll have a better way to handle it as an epidemic in the future. That's really what I'm looking at, and how quickly the technology can come along.
Yeah, and as far as sports is concerned, like I'm in my head when I'm projecting ahead to games coming back, I am not looking at games coming back with fans. Like I think that is so far down the road. Because as you said, will there be a second wave in the fall, or just like the reluctance? I think the reluctance of people in general to get, we've been almost conditioned now. It's only been a couple of weeks, but conditioned now to stay apart, and will that kind of fear, and how long will that fear of being back together in packed quarters with people, how long will it take people to come over that? So when I think of when sports will come back, I'm thinking of sports coming back, but I'm not seeing fans in the stands.
Yeah, no, I agree. And even your normal behavior when you're at a game, as I say, on football in the United States, the tailgating, if I'm going into the crowd, if I'm going to a Red Blacks or a Sens game, and we joke, and you've been to NFL games, you joke about going to use the bathroom. Do you think you're going to hold it for the whole game? Probably. Like just that feeling of what's your confidence to be in certain situations with people. It's a long ways to go. There seem to be some positive to it. And for a lot of people just talking about sports and conceptually coming up with ideas, let's hope it does become reality at some point.
Yeah. You know what? You just put a dark thought in my head, the reminder of going to the bathroom at an NFL
exactly.
game. Now, this is the old stadium in New England.
Was it the trough?
No, that was Montreal. I peed into a trough at when they reopened McGill Stadium to the CFL. Yeah, so I've done that. I peed. Now, the key, again, when you're peeing into a trough, always be at the top end. You're at the bottom end and you're watching the flow go past your feet. I mean, that's... That's a dark place.
Well, it's a lot of wasted draft beer.
It is, but in the in old Foxborough Stadium, which was a dump back in the day, there were not enough washrooms, not enough urinals.
No.
And so you walk into the washroom, and there are guys, a group of eight guys all peeing into a sink.
Yeah.
Just
nothing says bonding like that. I also think of one of my great things. We opened up the MCI Center. It was called at the time in D.C. We had to all go to different stations around the building and flush the toilet at the same time. So I felt like I was really part of the opening at that point.
Nice.
The decision for the water pressure to be able to handle multiple flushes all at the same time.
And did it work?
Oh, yeah. Good
okay.
to go. Good
all
to go.
Right. There we go. All right. A little past 7 o'clock. We'll take a break. Get you the latest news from 580 CFRA. Latest on the COVID-19 pandemic. And when we come back, a little bit more on NHL draft. I think for a lot of Senator fans who've moved beyond, hey, is hockey coming back for this year? Well, I don't really care, quite frankly, because there's only a handful of games left. The Sens aren't making the playoffs. And in fact, if anything, I don't want them to play and ruin what is always a best case scenario in terms of the draft lottery. So most people have moved on to the lottery and the picks and who the players might be that Ottawa could get. Craig Button, NHL, TSN's NHL Director of Scouting, is out with his latest Craig's List. So thoughts on Lafreniere and the list and Jack Quinn being ahead of Marco Rossi. We'll get into all of that when we come back. It is a Tuesday morning. J.R. Simmer and Hammer with you on Sports Radio, TSN 1200.